A little scripture came to my mind as I was sitting there, and it says, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to do something. It does more than save us. The preached word is vital to us, but even above the preached word, it's the need, the necessity of having the Spirit give the word and anoint the word. This morning, we would like to talk to you about sacrifices and offerings. And it made me to look back at the few Sundays, and even if with this song, it speaks about the sacrifice that made it possible for me to be dead to the world. Oh, I hope you caught that in that. But in the last few Sundays, we've had a number of several references. Even since Easter Sunday, we've had things spoken of the greatest act of love. And it was for all humanity. We've heard about the perfect sacrifice. And you know, God would not call for you and me to make sacrifices and offerings if we didn't have the example. If Jesus had not given that great sacrifice, if he had rejected it, then you and I would not be even required. Amen. I don't think we would we? But it's pleasing unto the Lord to link those things up with our life, our everyday life. I'm thinking of the scripture that's so familiar. We've heard it more times than we can count. And it does link up with the thought of sacrifice, and it's greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I believe it's more than just for our friends, though. And then I also thought of the scripture of prophecy in the Isaiah prophecy that said that it pleased the Father or the Lord to bruise him. And then a phrase in there caught my attention. It says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. It's a sacrifice for sin, but he offered it for you and me. And I'm thinking also that Jesus gave his life so that you and I could have life. This is just a little introduction to our thoughts this morning. But I don't think we can even speak about the sacrifices that maybe God calls for us or the offerings that he asks for us to give unless we connect it some way that Christ did it for us. I'm thinking also that all that Jesus did and all that he said and all that he taught and every example that he left to you and me. And then the word of the Lord says this for us to follow in his steps. Let's not forget that we have an example to follow. I'm thinking of some of these same scriptures and what they imply to us in our walk with the Lord. And it's hard to maybe keep this in our minds that we have to die to ourselves. And that we have to, the scripture is very plain, that we have to deny ourselves. And that we, and what that means to sacrifice and to offerings, denying, dying to ourselves. I die daily, Paul said, I die daily. Our desires have to sometimes be sacrificed. Our own wishes, our own plans, that all has to do with me. I remember when the Lord called me to the ministry, He gave me a promise. And I did not know I could even ask for a promise. It was never in my mind. But He spoke it so plainly, and I rely on that promise even today after all of these years. But the Lord spoke to me, and He said, if you will give yourself wholly to my work, I will fight for your children, your grandchildren, and their marriages. It was very real. And the Lord has done that. But I always, when I need to claim the promise, I have to go back to myself. Have I really sacrificed? Lord, you judge me. Have I given myself wholly to your work? I remember at that time, it was early on, soon after the Lord called me to the ministry, and so I talked to both of my girls. Because I knew that if I had to give myself wholly to His work and make that sacrifice, that they too would have to make sacrifices. So I told them, I said, you know, there's going to be times that we may not get to do just what we want to do as a family. Whether that was totally balanced, you know, I've heard other ministers say that they probably put the work of the Lord a little too forward over their families. There's been ministers say that. And I probably did too, but it was like the promise was to my children too. The sacrifice, the result of the sacrifice they would benefit from. So I think that the Lord needs to help us, that we be balanced. But I want to testify that the Lord has met us every time. He has not failed one time to fight for my children, to fight for their marriages. He's fought for my grandchildren. My grandchildren heard the promise also, and they said, Grandma, did that mean us too? And I said, this is what it said. And I would repeat it. So I want to follow in His steps, and I believe you do too. I think about sacrifice. I believe there's seasons that we may have more sacrifices than in other times of our life. Periods of our life may require more sacrifice than at other times. I think that when we do deny ourselves and we give up our desires for the sake of someone else. Isn't that what it usually entails? Sacrifice isn't just, well, we might say, I think Brother Marty has said this, that his children said, do we have to go to church? And he'd say, no, you get to. You remember him telling that? It's a sacrifice. It's part of our sacrifice unto the Lord when we come to service. And I look across And all of you drive a long distance to church. I guess the other day when we were up at Damon's and I was coming back home and it was getting on to dark and all, and my thoughts began to think about what our congregation sacrifices to be in service. And that's a, and God wants to bless that. Thank the Lord. But I'm thinking of our desires, giving up our desires for the sake of the gospel. That's only one area. I want to tell you, there's so many areas of sacrifice that we won't be able to cover them all. But I trust that the Lord will inspire this to our minds, that as we go out, it's not just for others. It's not just for me. Don't you know what the scripture says about blessing God? He wants you to bless Him. He wants to bless us, but He wants us in turn to be a blessing to Him and to His cause and His purpose. And I'm thinking of the sacrifices we make for the gospel. So as we think about some of the basic principles of God's word and how that it says to you and me to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, don't think that every day you're going to be making some kind of a sacrifice for your neighbor. And Jesus, even as he gave that, he said, somebody said, well, who is my neighbor? Well, it's not really your next door neighbor. It's that person that you come in contact with. Sacrifices can be very costly or they can be absolutely minimal. Is it a sacrifice when you're at the store and you hold a door open for someone? That's just we might call that very minimal, but it's just so polite and it's just kind and but it speaks, it says something. And God takes note of the little sacrifices. I really believe he does. I'm thinking of the disciples when Jesus told them and said for them to, they even turned around and said it, Lord, we gave up houses and lands and family, and they began to say all of these things that God said, that Jesus said, you know, for them to, he didn't use the term, but it was a sacrifice. Their lives were changed. They did something for the sake of the gospel or for Jesus that maybe they didn't weigh it out when they first got the call. And he said, come and follow me. But they willingly did it. And I'm thinking of how important it is that we have willing sacrifices. And the scripture, we'll talk a little bit more about offerings, but they're so closely linked together. The scripture is so plain. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Very simple little scripture that a child may not always retain, but we say it to them, don't we? When we're speaking of their relationships with each other, and we try to teach them, you know, this is something God wants in our lives. No matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, He's wanting us to consider others and how we affect them. These are all just sort of some basic principles of sacrifice. So sacrifice is ultimately a demonstration of something. It's a demonstration of the love of God that is in our lives. That he is in our hearts. He is living in our hearts. If we are saved, if we have invited him to be the ruler of my life, the governor of my life, and he has won me by his love, he has taught me love, that's got to be part of my reason for making the sacrifices as unto the Lord. So it is the degree of our love for the Lord. It's our degree of our love for the Word of God and for our fellow man, and that we can measure the willingness of our sacrifice for them. So I want to mention this. I read this. It said the true meaning of sacrifice, and then it begins to explain, and we're going to start out by speaking of our sacrifice for others, our family. We all have had to make sacrifices for our own family, for our children, for our parents, haven't we? And the Lord is so pleased for us to consider and make sacrifices for our family. We even make sacrifices for extended family. This is in my mind. And for our church family. I want to testify. There is a giving and there is a receiving. And down through my ministry and through my life, I've had health and strength and was able to give. But this last year, I became the receiver. And while it's very humbling, isn't it a blessing when God has those who are willing to make sacrifices, lay down their lives for an extended period of time? My neighbors have been impressed. They said they haven't seen. One of my neighbors said, I've not seen anything like this. And I told you that it was one neighbor that was telling the other neighbors. It wasn't me. But it was somebody that was witnessing it and spreading it on my street. And so, you know, this is part of God's work in us. And for others. I want to say I am very grateful. I will feel forever indebted to those that made their sacrifices for me. Sacrifice is also closely linked to outreach. Did you ever think of that? I mean, we know that it's the will of the Lord for us to have. Don't we believe that we need to have a missionary mind? And there's scriptures we're going to support that, but I believe that God counts it as righteousness. When you and I consider those around about us, we may not just have a message, but I believe that that God has a way of opening up an opportunity, and we can either step into that opportunity and allow the Spirit to work in that situation, maybe with a total stranger. And it can be a sacrifice unto the Lord. Did you know a missionary that goes to Africa or any other country, it takes sacrifice? They have to lay something down in order to go and be and do. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes giving up something that they may have desired to do themselves or for themselves or for their family. And yet God, it's in His plan that we lay down our desires for somebody else, for the chance, for the opportunity that they might grasp hold of something. I'm in a position that I am seeing everything. And my testimony is that Mike listened. Now, whatever his response was before the Lord, that's between him and God. But I'm glad. Aren't you glad? And I have sometimes said, I am not a hunter and I'm not a fisher. And I'm not talking literally, I'm talking spiritually. It's not my calling. My calling is to the saints. And I have said to the congregation at different times down through the years, I said, you bring them in and I'll work with them. Even if it's no more than me praying for them, that's part of it. So I thank the Lord that we can make sacrifices and it reach some people. We would like for it to be more, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we desire for a whole chapel full? Take sacrifice. In the Hebrews, there are several different kinds of offerings. There are some offerings that are free will offerings. What is that? Where I do something unto the Lord because I want to. I choose to. I choose to lay down my life. There were those kind of offerings, and then, of course, we're not going to speak today about those offerings that were commandments. God had a number of offerings and sacrifices, especially in the Old Testament, that were required. They were obligations. But oh, how pleasing it is and I believe He just looks down in special favor when it's a free will offering, don't you? And we talk about our money offerings. It's free will. You choose what you want to offer unto the Lord. And if you're not doing it unto the Lord, you're doing it for a wrong reason. We've got to be doing everything that we do. And there's a scripture that says, whatsoever ye do, do it as unto the Lord, or do it to the glory of God. Doesn't matter what you do, what you offer, what you sacrifice, what you give up, your time, your efforts, your energy, whether it's for your family, whether it's for the neighbor, whether it's for extended family, whether it's for the family of God, or whatever it's for, let that be your sole reason for what you are wanting to do unto the Lord. Well, in these Hebrew terms, there was a word that was for offerings in general, and it was called Corban. And this word Corban, it affected me. I mean, when I looked it up, and you know what it means? A gift to God or given to God. Whatever you're doing, do it to God. Don't look at this person and say, well, I'm sacrificing for them. No, I am sacrificing for God's glory. It will bless God, and it will be, we'll see. It's going to be something that will shine. Free will offerings. Let's look at them and say, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. So the greatest part of the offerings under the Hebrew were voluntary. I voluntarily give something up for me or of me that somebody else can be benefited. It was called pure devotion. You know, if we don't have the vision of our purposes in what we do, that it's pure devotion unto the Lord for the glory of God and for the increase of His kingdom. Oh, we may not see the increase, but oh, if we've done it. You know, when Abraham was, he was called faithful Abraham, and it said that it was counted unto him for righteousness. What he did, it will be counted unto us for righteousness if we make these sacrifices and these free will offerings unto the Lord, and there is no result that comes from it. It'll still be counted unto righteousness, just as Abraham. So there were many different kinds of offerings in the word of the Lord, and there's no way we're going to try to explain any of them. But we have chosen some that I feel will appeal to us. One was called a peace offering. A peace offering was one that was willingly offered. It was not an obligation. It was, I willingly give up this or that. Or I want to back up just a little bit about our salvation, because you and I, it is necessary for us to willingly offer unto the Lord the sacrifice of giving myself up for the sake of the gospel is, and I hope I can say this like I feel, because I know how the Lord has dealt with me down through my life. When the Lord calls for something in our life, it takes a sacrifice. It takes denying myself. It takes to give something up, say, of a standard of holiness. I have witnessed how God works with individuals, and I have also witnessed that when God does it and He gives the conviction, you can do it. But if you just hear somebody say, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you need to give up this. And somebody was telling me just this last week how that happened to them. That there was a message that went across and you shouldn't do this. And the next Sunday, that person and several others did it. what the preached word, there is a place for the preached word. I'm not discounting that at all. But they said, this person said, I didn't have the grace. I was doing it for that. So when God calls for something in his life, in your life or my life, he will give grace for it. And it will not even be a temptation. Oh, you say, I've been tempted, but the experiences that I have found is when God puts his finger on something in my life, and in that sweet and precious voice that says, won't you give this up for me? And I could not resist it. And that's been the norm. That's the normal way that God does it. He doesn't do it with accusations and guilt. And he calls for these things, and we say, I'll give that up. That's a sacrifice. And he turns around and he blesses in a way that no other way can you be blessed in that same way. And I have testified here of different things that the Lord has called for in my life. Some of the things he has called for in my, some of the things I don't preach. Because he may not call that from you. But for me, he's calling for a personal walk where he's the one that is guiding. He's the one that is teaching. He's the one that is leading. He's the one that gives grace for whatever he says, give it up for me. Won't you give it up for me? And my testimony has been every time he's done that, I say, yes, Lord. And I have been obedient when it came to dress. He taught me how to dress. I am not dressing. I know what the scripture says, but his spirit will lead with the scriptures. And he wants us to follow him because his voice is calling for it. And when we say yes, then we're offering it willingly unto the Lord. So that's just something the Lord had placed in my mind today or this morning. So the sacrifices and the free will offerings, the example of Jesus, he said, I did not come for you to serve me. I came to serve somebody else. And I gave up my own ideas of what humanity would be. No, he doesn't say this. I'm saying it. He had to deny himself to become a servant, to be able to make the sacrifices that he made for you and me. Remember, we're the recipients of his sacrifice. Don't we want others to be the recipient of our sacrifices? Sacrifices. I wrote down here that, actually it was on my way to church, so I didn't really have a lot of time to think on this. When we see a need, and the scripture, you know, tells us about seeing somebody that is destitute and poor and all of that. And then it says, you don't want to go and say, be warmed and be filled and do nothing. That's not the sacrifice. That's not even a sacrifice. But the Lord is saying, when we see a need, then we fill it. And we respond to what we, because God's going to allow us to see the needs of somebody, won't he? I'm thinking about, there are certain needs out there that are mountains almost unreachable. You don't see how it can even, your little might wouldn't even touch it. But you know, Brother Dan has taken the boys and they've made up little packets for the homeless. That's a mountain. But you try to cover a little foothill. And you know, that's teaching the boys sacrifice, giving up their time to go and do something for somebody else that's in a destitute condition. That's a sacrifice. So as we live life and as we see the need and as we offer ourselves to fill the need and we're giving up our whatever it takes for that need to be filled, we're serving somebody else. We're fulfilling the scriptures. God is looking on and he will be the rewarder of your sacrifices. So in the free will offerings, they always cost something. And I'm only going to give one example because there's really not the time to give the example, but I'm thinking of David. And if you want to read the account, it's 2 Samuel 24. David has numbered the people, and it caused a great destruction of the lives of the people. Many lost their lives. But to stop the plague upon Israel, God commanded David to go to the threshing floor of Araunah. And it was very gracious of Araunah, and he said, I'm going to give you my threshing floor and the instruments and the oxen, and you make that sacrifice. But it was David's reaction that I think needs to be our reaction. David said, nay, but I will surely buy it at a price. Neither will I offer anything or offer unto the Lord my God that which costs me nothing. That's what sacrifice is. It's costing me giving up something I would rather have or do or be for somebody else. So I want to consider the following scriptures in closing. Leviticus 2 and 13. And this is called a meat offering. I'm not going to try to explain a meat offering. I'm taking out some of the core words that it may speak to us. And it says, and every offering shalt thou season with salt. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Did you know that was in the Bible? Salt is very important. Scripturally, spiritually, we need salt. Because we have what the Lord said, ye are the salt of the earth. Salt has got to do something with what I'm offering unto the Lord. There's a New Testament scripture that goes Mark 9 and 49 and 50. Part of that says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Do you know that? Salt is good. Have salt in yourselves. Did you know that's what the Lord is calling for? Is that our lives will be so seasoned as we make sacrifices unto him. The seasoning will not be limited just to the one sacrifice or me giving up myself or me giving my time, whatever is required that you lay down or sacrifice, the salt will make it palatable not only in your life, but it will make it palatable to the one that God is calling you to sacrifice for. And it says, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Colossians 4 and 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Oh, that is so important. It is so important that we make the sacrifices of seeking God until we do have a correct answer, an answer that is seasoned with the salt of the Holy Spirit. And then we have, not only did Jesus say that we were the salt, but he said you're light. And you cannot separate light and salt. They work together. The scripture says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. What house? Your house. Your neighbors. Your friends. Your acquaintances. Your extended family. Your family. All is needing salt in your life. And needing light, the light of God, to draw them. It goes on and it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see something. What does the scripture say we want them to see? Good works. And what is the result of them seeing our good works? That they will glorify God, which is in heaven, he says, or glorify your Father. So, you know, in our sacrifices, our actions speak louder than our words. Hebrews 13 and 16, it says, but to do good and to communicate, don't forget it. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So God's pleased when we make personal free will offerings unto the Lord or sacrifices. And our final scripture is Romans 12 and 9. And it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know, oftentimes we think of some of these scriptures that speak about brotherly love, that it's in the family of God or with the church family, and it is. I believe God is especially pleased when we are loving one another, because he says for us to love one another as I have loved you. But he wants us to be kindly affectionate to those he's calling for us to make sacrifices for. And then it says in honor, preferring one another. You know, there are times that we might not feel like making a sacrifice. I'm tired of this. I've done this for this long, and I'm ready for an end. You ever been ready for an end to a battle? I understand that. But oh, how pleased God wants to turn and bless us, pour out his Spirit upon us. He is desiring that we taste of him. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And as you and I taste of him and have that flavor, that it's like salt in our life, we will be able to flavor somebody else's life. Pray for me.